See, the reason I have to do that is because then it tells me how long I'm speaking for, so it's worth it. It's worth it. Fantastic. Well, it's been really lovely this morning. Have you enjoyed our Chris Dingle? And it's such a beautiful thing, Jesus in our midst. And it's lovely having all the young people joining in. One of the things I enjoy about church is the generational thing, that we believe that the church, that the children are not the church of tomorrow, but they're the church of today. And as they've been, they've blessed us, haven't they, with their prayers and their participation. We're just going to continue a bit with this theme of light, the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. This story, it's all about light. It's a story about five people who had some light and lost it, and another five people that had some light and kept it. Joe and I have been just away in a little place called Deal in Kent this last week. We have been there for about 9 out of 10 years. We have a kind of recovery week before the Christmas madness really sets in. And one of the places we stayed once down in Deal had a thing called an Inglenook fire. And you know this Christ Ingle thing? Apparently it means Christ fire. And an Inglenook fire is one of these kind of great big brick fireplaces with a little bit of fire burning in the middle. So it's all about Jesus burning in our hearts. And this Moravian bishop who set off this Chris Dingle thing, he was worried that the young people were losing their fire. And so he started this thing that they were praying that God would kindle again this flame in their hearts. And I believe this morning that God wants to light a fire in our hearts. He wants to warm our hearts. I believe he's already said that. But of course, he always wants to do that. How wonderful to have the Holy Spirit with us to do a work in our hearts today. This picture here, we have to turn the light out so we can actually see it, was taken at 6:30 a.m. on Friday morning, where I had a little bit of a kind of light and darkness experience. We were trying to get the car packed up so that we could drive back to London from this little coastal place called Deal. And so I had to go out and fetch the car. And as I went out, I thought, what a beautiful morning. And so I took a picture of the dawn. You can see a very bright star. I think it's probably Venus shining there, and a few boats in the distance. Rosie and Luke, as it happened, had the day before been in Margate. And as it happened, I turned my camera across the English Channel towards Margate, shining there. As I started to walk, you can see it's a little bit darker, walk along the seafront, I got a little bit close to the edge. And it had been raining all night. And the next thing I knew, I was lying on my back on the stony beach with my phone broken and my jeans cut and my knee grazed. And I thanked God that I was not more badly injured. You don't laugh at this point, Elaine. It's rude. It's not nice. Anyway, so that was my light experience. And in a funny kind of way, you know, I think that God has control of our lives. And he got my attention that morning. Something I felt God was speaking to me about. And so on the way, the journey back, driving back to London, I was quite quiet and thoughtful because I knew that God was speaking to me about something and bringing a different kind of light to my heart. Anyway, this story. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Look at them all snoozing there. Actually, there are supposed to be 10 of them, because they were all drowsy. It wasn't just the foolish ones. They were all drowsing. So if I see, you know, you're entitled to drowse a little bit this morning. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. I have to say, Luke and Rosie, that I didn't prepare this talk specially. It says, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Just want to explain something about the Jewish marriage tradition. There were basically three stages of the marriage. The first one was when the fathers got together, because in those days they were arranged marriages. And so the fathers got together and they agreed that this thing was going to happen, that this man was going to marry this woman. The second thing was the betrothal, which is another word for engagement. And this was really a very big deal in those days, because once they'd made the commitment, in a sense, that was it. So the actual marriage ceremony, the marriage feast, was the third part. But the agreement came at the betrothal stage. No pressure, guys. And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. So this picture here is of the marriage feast, which was the final part of the whole marriage tradition. It's an interesting parable, this, because actually it's not about the bride, is it? And it's not about the bridegroom. It's about these virgins. So who were these 10 virgins? Well, in the Jewish tradition in these New Testament times, these were like the bridal party. They were part of the bride's group. I don't know whether they were best friends or whatever, but they were part of the bride's party. And when it was announced that the bridegroom was coming, then they would all set off with their candles and find him and bring him back to the bride. In a way, they were like the kind of go-between people, because they were connectors. They connected the bridegroom with the bride. And as I was thinking about this, it's really not very clear in this parable who these people represent. But in one sense, they represent us in our job of bringing people to Jesus, connecting the bridegroom, Jesus, with the bride, the church. And so they had a very important job to do. And of course, the crucial part of the equipment, because this was happening at night, and traditionally, they weren't quite sure when this guy was going to come out of his room, but as soon as the shout went up, they had to be ready, they had to have their lights ready, because it might have been the middle of the night. As it happens in this case, it was midnight, and the shout went out, and they all got their lamps together, and off they went. But this parable is really, it's all about the oil. It's all focused on this thing that five of them, the foolish ones, didn't have enough oil. They had run out of oil. And oil in the Bible is very often portrayed as a picture of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about. That's what Luke was talking about. The work of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Where would we be today without the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit makes Jesus real to us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin and our need of Jesus. Otherwise, we would never receive him. The Holy Spirit comes and causes us to be born a second time, to be born again. The Holy Spirit lives the life of Jesus through us. He brings these wonderful characteristics of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and self-control and all these amazing characteristics. They are the work of the Holy Spirit. Christianity is good news. The first part of the good news is that Jesus died for our sins. He came to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven. He loves us so much. But then wouldn't it be terrible if he set this incredible standard of life and then said, off you go, guys. Do it yourself. Let's see how you get on. but actually he gives us the Holy Spirit so that he can live this life through us. And perhaps one of the biggest sins is the sin of independence, when we try to live the Christian life by ourselves. As Luke was saying earlier, we cannot even pray without his help. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. His name is Paraclete. It means helper, the one who comes alongside to help us. And so actually, when these guys didn't take enough oil with them, it was a big deal. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And this is our greatest wisdom, that we would be filled with the Holy Spirit. In this parable, it talks about how we all get sleepy. Do you know we do, don't we? The natural thing in us as human beings, even born-again Christians, is that we naturally go backwards. And so if we don't keep ourselves in the love of God, if we do not pray, if we do not walk with God, then we will go backwards, for to be sure. And we all get very sleepy. But interestingly enough, they weren't told off for being sleepy, but actually when they were woken up, they weren't ready for the opportunity. And that's so important. It's so important that every day we are filled with Jesus, that we give him time, that we have fellowship with him, that we start to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when it comes to lunchtime, if you haven't got enough, then you're going to be struggling. But ideally, God wants us filled with the Holy Spirit so that whenever an opportunity comes up, we can take it. Somebody at work tells you they've got a really bad situation at home. And maybe they know you well enough, there's an opportunity for you to just say, would you like me to pray for you? But of course, if we're not filled with the Spirit, it's very unlikely that we would take that opportunity. There is an opportunity just in being in school, in university, in our office, of just being Jesus to those around us. What an opportunity every day. But we need to have that lamp burning. We need that oil. We all get sleepy. But the thing is, when the bridegroom appears, do we have enough oil? Jesus often appears at different times, doesn't he, in our lives, and we need to be ready for when we have that opportunity. So how do we know that our oil has run out? How do you know? You know, one of the worst things is we don't notice when our oil has run out. We think everything's fine, but the devil is a pickpocket. He's more of a pickpocket than a mugger. That he just gradually will take away your love and your joy and your peace and your boldness and the reality of Jesus. Little by little, it creeps up on us and we don't notice. But here are three symptoms of an empty lamp. Three S's. The first one is sensitivity. We lose our sensitivity. The sensitivity to our conscience. I noticed when we were on holiday, that one of the things that Joe and I like to do in this kind of chill time before Christmas is to relax and just catch up. And we sometimes watch rubbish Christmas movies. I'm going to confess this now, rubbish Christmas movies. And afterwards you think, that was a really bad movie. But hey, we relaxed. And one of the films, sometimes we watch the same things. There are one or two films that we enjoy just because of the soundtrack. They've got really great songs. And one particular, I'll leave you guessing what this one is. One particular Christmas movie we watched this time. And we kind of almost switched it off as we were going through. But we watched it to the end. And Bert, Joe and I looked at each other at the end of it and we thought, we're not going to watch that one again. Because actually our conscience has become desensitized. I sometimes think when I'm watching some of these, some things, watching TV or watching a film or something, I think, what would it be like to have John Wesley sitting beside me? Would he stay? Probably not. What if Jesus? I invited Jesus, Jesus, would you like to just come and watch this film with me? I might be embarrassed in parts. And so what I'm actually saying is that, and I'm not telling you what the film is because I don't want you to go by my standard, but actually just to notice that sometimes we still have the standard, but we are not committed anymore to keep it because we just become desensitized to walking with God. The second one is softness. We notice that actually we're not dealing with people in the right way. Sometimes we become hard. I notice that one of the things that actually as I get older I find is something that I need to take care of more is impatience. Just being impatient with people, and somebody comes along and you know that they need your time and you're a bit busy, or maybe you think, you know, we've been through down this road a few times before, you know, it's time you maybe kind of got your act together a bit, and we become impatient and our heart becomes judgmental. We become hard in the way that we treat people. We don't treat people with kindness. There are two wonderful gifts we've been given. One is kindness, one is patience. Kindness is every positive thing we would need to actually give to people. And patience is actually the thing that soaks up all the negative things. They're the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And when we begin to, our lamp begins to burn low, we become impatient and unkind with people. The third thing is sweetness. Sweetness in prayer. That expression is often used by the Puritans, actually. They talked about finding sweetness with God in prayer. Or they lost that sense of sweetness. I know when I first became a Christian, I had a great sense of sweetness, that God's presence seemed very precious to me. And there have been times in my life where I've enjoyed prayer more than at other times. More recently, I'll be honest with you, I found it difficult to pray personally. I found I'd become so busy doing different things, even God stuff, that actually my heart's got so occupied with the things that I'm doing that actually it's been a fight to keep that sweetness with God. And so I've had to go back to God and say, God, teach me again how to pray. And he's shown me one or two, give me one or two clues to help me with that. So how do we get our oil back? The remedy. Three R's. The first one is remember. There was a church in Revelation that had lost its first love. It was called the Ephesian church. And when the Holy Spirit gave things to the Apostle John to speak to that church about how they could come back to Jesus. And the first thing was to remember. It says in Revelation 2:5, do you remember what it was like before you fell? It's time to rethink and change your ways. Go back to how you first acted. However, if you do not return, I will come quickly and personally remove your lampstand from its place. I'm sure Aydin probably knows. I know Verd and Regina know where Ephesus is in Turkey. And that Ephesian church is not there anymore. Their hearts did grow cold, and he did take away the lampstand in that place. It's a sobering thought. You know, maybe God is speaking to us as a church about the need to rekindle that flame in our hearts. Do you remember? Do you remember? Sometimes it's good to stir up those times when our walk with God seemed to have been sweeter. Our hearts seemed to be softer. We were more willing to serve God. Remember that time. Do you remember what that was like? Good to reflect. That was the first step. The second step in that passage was to repent. If you read one version of the Bible, it uses that word repent. The version I'm using, which I think is the New Living Translation, says, do you remember what it was like before you fell? It's time to rethink and change your ways. That's what repentance is. It's thinking, I'm doing this. My heart is a little bit hard. I've lost that softness with Jesus. I've lost that willingness to always do his will. I've lost my zeal. I need to stop, rethink, and change my ways. And so the third thing that I call to re-engage. And do you know we can do that this morning? Each one of us, we can re-engage because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is there all the time. The blood of Jesus still flows. The wounds of Christ are still open. So that at any time, you and I can re-engage. Would you like to re-engage this morning? That's God's invitation to us. Do you remember what it was like before you fell? It's time to rethink and change your ways. Go back to how you first acted. Usually when we lose our way, we kind of know where it was. let me just go back to this story. So I fell off the seawall. Fortunately, it was only 3 foot. But I felt very surprised to find myself on my back. My phone was still working. I've got it in my pocket. It now is covered with cling film to kind of hold the glass together. But it was still working because you know what I'd done? I'd lost my keys. So I had my keys in one hand, my phone in the other. Critical moment. And so I fell to the ground. I hurled my keys about 20 yards down the beach and it was pitch black. But thank God I had a little lamp there. So even though it was the glass was broken, I shone and I found out where it was. But before I went to find my keys, I just put a stone on the sea wall so I knew where the area was, because actually it was going to be pretty bad getting back to London without our car. Anyway, after about 5 minutes, Joe was obviously back home wondering what was going on at this point. I found my keys, and I thank God on the journey back that I'd not injured myself, but more badly, that I had found my keys, and we went on. But I had to go back to the place where I'd fallen, actually, to find those keys. You know when Mary and Joseph, they lost Jesus. Can you imagine that? They lost the Son of God. They got very busy at the festival, and Jesus was back at the temple, if you remember, and they walked away, and what was it, 3 days or something? And suddenly, where's Jesus? And they had to go back. They had to retrace their steps and go back to that point. And if you feel that you've lost your way a little bit, maybe this morning you need to go back and find your way. Maybe it's actually that you don't pray anymore. You don't have a little time with Jesus every day. It could be some issue that you're struggling with, something that you have refused to give up. And God is saying, why don't we just go back to that thing and let's start the journey again from that place. Go back to how you first acted. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Do you know we sometimes do this, and God is very gracious, that we can come on Sunday morning and hallelujah. We can enter his gates with praise, and we can actually enter into other people's praise. We can go back home. We can switch on Premier Radio. We can go on our Spotify list or whatever you have, and you can play Christian music and actually be feeding on somebody else's song. But God wants us to go back to him, to the source, to feed ourselves. We can't go to and get the oil from somebody else. So the wise ones, they said, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go back to the dealers. You know, it costs something to walk with God. Not very much, actually. I suppose it costs our lives, our whole lives. But actually, just God, you know, he makes it easy for us to pray. But we still have to make an effort to walk with him. There's still a price to pay to walk with him. And we need to pay that small price to spend time with Jesus. I'm going to finish on this verse, Ephesians 5, this little bit, 15 to 20. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. The old King James Version says, for that is debauchery. Well, it sounds bad, debauchery, doesn't it? But I never really knew what it was. So I'm going to take this person's word for it. That will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so God compares being filled with the Holy Spirit to drinking. Because actually we all have this massive hole inside that needs to be satisfied. And there is nothing that satisfies more than having fellowship with Jesus. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, as we're doing this morning. And making music to the Lord in your hearts. I think that actually singing is a very good way of being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the only way, because actually we can sing and not communicate. It says we make music with our heart. You could be playing the guitar, but you're not using your heart. You could be playing the trumpet, as some of the children so beautifully demonstrated this morning. But actually, if we're not using our hearts, we're not making that connection, and we won't be filled with the Holy Spirit. But as we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I've learned myself to listen out to the song of the Lord. It's just something that I've learned personally, that I find often in the morning, I've got a song, and I'm just singing something. And I recognize that song comes from God. So often I take that song, I go on the internet, I copy the lyrics, and I meditate on that song, and I pray over that song, and I sing that song, and that song keeps me going all day. It was the song of the Lord that he put in my heart, and it's a way of being filled with the Holy Spirit, just praising God. Another thing here is it says, and being thankful, give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The thing that I feel God has helped me with recently is he's taken me back to an old, acronym. I was going to say anacrim. Sounds bad, doesn't it? An acronym. ACTS. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. And maybe some of you'd like to just take this away and try this because it works. The first thing is just spend a little time at the beginning of the day adoring God. Oh, come, let us adore him. That's a very strong word, isn't it? That we adore this Jesus. Wasn't it lovely, the children praying this morning? One of them said, we thank you for your excellences. Wow, I learned something. Thank you for your excellences, dwelling on who God is. He is our creator. He is perfectly holy. He is lovely. He is all-loving. He is merciful. He is patient. He is kind. He is eternal. He is light. He is Lord. He is King. There are so many things about God's person that we can adore him for. And just a few minutes spending just thanking him for who he is does something good in our hearts. And I find then is a good place to confess. It's good to be honest with God. So I went back to God and said, God, I'm sorry about my prayerlessness. I'm sorry I've not made the time for you that I need to do. I'm sorry about my attitude yesterday in this situation. I'm sorry I spoke that way to my family member. I'm sorry, Lord. And you know, I find that instantly connects me to God. The reality of honest confession brings me to God, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And then thanksgiving. You know, you start. What I recommend is that you maybe commit yourself to 15 or 20 minutes time of prayer. If you want to pray for an hour, great. But I suggest that if you commit yourself to 20 minutes, you may pray for an hour anyway, once you get going. But an hour seems too big to many people. Jesus said to the disciples, could you not pray for 1 hour? But start with a little bit and make it work. And then finally, supplication. And that just means asking meaningfully, begging, really asking God for things. God, today I really need you. You know, I've got this, 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 and this. I'm meeting this person. I've got to do this job. I know I'm not suited to it. Lord, I need your help. Honest praying. And this is the way, I believe, to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to finish there at 29 minutes and 39 seconds. Joe said aim for 20 minutes. Here's the prayer of the bishop. Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these children's hearts that theirs like thine become. Barbara, would you mind just coming? And what I'd like us to do this morning is sing that song again, What a Wonderful Savior is Jesus. But let's see if we can't get a little filled with the Holy Spirit as we sing this by praying these words to God. If you wouldn't mind just putting the words. Actually, could we all just stand for a moment? Just before we put the words of that song up, let's just have a look at this. Would you like to pray this prayer with me? Let's pray this out loud. Lord Jesus, kindle a flame in these children's hearts that theirs like thine become. Let's personalize that. Lord Jesus.
Now, as we all quiet and down, ready for the service, who's started their Advent calendars already? Hands up. Oh. Have you got white or milk chocolate? Neither. Dark? Lego. Great. Before I hand over to Nick and Joe, we're just going to pray quickly. Dear Lord, thank you so much that we can gather together at the beginning of Advent on the first week in December, that we can come and begin to prepare our hearts for the story of Jesus coming as a baby, the Saviour of the world. I really pray that your spirit be with us today as we worship you and gather together to celebrate you and to love you even more. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you, Luke. Sorry, it's been a bit of a slow start. There's been a lot going on behind the scenes. We're hoping that we're kind of ready, but there we go. So this is our special Chris Dingle service, which Patrick's been looking forward to, as have some of the children. Some of the children have never been to a Chris Dingle service before. So we're just going to put up, this wonderful prayer that this Moravian church leader prayed. So this service, this Chris Dingle service, and these are happening worldwide now, these services. It's really been revived in the last sort of 10 years. One of the children told me they'd been to a huge one at St. Paul's Cathedral where there were hundreds of children. So it's a very special service, but it goes all the way back to 1747, so 250 years or more, to this group of people called the Moravians. And they were a group in Germany before it even existed. It wasn't even Germany then, who were praying and seeking God. And they had an experience of him where the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. And they described it as being like the nearness of Christ. They said Jesus came near to them and in such a powerful way that their lives were changed, and they went out all across the world after that, including to this country, as missionaries and gave their lives because the Holy Spirit had been poured out and had shown them Jesus in a more powerful way. So that's what we're praying for today. So this isn't just a service about holding these oranges and the little candles, which we'll explain about in a minute, but this has the potential today to be a spiritual meeting with God, where in our hearts we could meet Jesus again, anew, afresh, because he knocks at the door. So that's what we're looking forward to. We're going to pray this prayer later on when we light the candles, that God would kindle a flame in the children's hearts. So about 15 years after they'd had this amazing experience, they did a special service near to Christmas, and it was for the children, and they got oranges and they put the candles in them, and this man prayed, God, would you light a fire in the children's hearts, that what this thing that has happened to us, could it happen to them? Could we go on with you? Could we experience this nearness of Christ like Luke just prayed for? So that's what today is all about. And we want to not just pray it on the outside. Really in our hearts we want to be praying this, God, I want to meet with you. I want to know you more. I want this flame more in my heart. So it's unashamedly a Christmas service. Barbara's got these guys organized, which is really amazing. I didn't sort of quite appreciate we were going to have all the guys playing and everything. It was fantastic. So in just one moment, we're going to start with what is unashamedly my favorite Christmas carol, okay? O Little Town of Bethlehem. Written in 1868 by an organist from America who was visiting the Holy Land. And he looked out on Christmas Eve at Bethlehem from the hills above, and he said, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. And then he talks about how in the dark streets this light was burning, this light had come to this little town. And then when he gets to the end, it becomes an incredible prayer. He says, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in. So this is brilliant, that we can come and in our need to him, and he wants to enter in. The dear Christ, even this morning, wants to enter in anew to our hearts. And then right at the end, the last verse, it's like he just loses himself in the song in the end, this American guy. And he says, O holy child of Bethlehem, he cries out, descend to us, we pray, cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. And it becomes a prayer that he would come to us. So we're going to sing this and another song, then some of the children are going to do readings, and then we're going to make the Chris Dingles and we're going to light the candles and we're going to pray. Fantastic.
Let's stand.
Fantastic. Wow, that was a fantastic version of O Little Town of Bethlehem. You don't often sing it like that. Some of the children are going to read some passages from the Bible, but I'm not sure that they're all here. Is Abigail here? Yes, or Abigail. Well done. Ruth, you're going to read, yeah? Do you want to grab your piece of paper? Oh, I've got the piece of paper here, actually. And Munya, is Munya here? I think he's not here yet. So Joel's going to come up. Joel's his understudy. Or is this Munya? Way, it's Munya. So you called a late entrance. Well done, Munya. Good man. Well done. Okay, brilliant. All right, I'm going to pass the microphone along, and then maybe you guys will be up for praying. We just pray. And they're going to read out, Ruth and Munya are going to read out two passages, very, very short verses about the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit comes to show us Jesus. And then Abigail's going to read a little bit from Revelation, an incredible vision of Jesus that John had. So do listen.
John 15 verse 26, the Helper will come, the Spirit who reveals the truth about God and who comes from the Father. I will send him to you from the Father, and he will speak about me and you.
As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side. They were filled with joy as they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit."
Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 to 18. When I turned to see who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined in a furnace. And his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet, as if I were dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, "Don't be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave."
Okay, let's close our eyes, and we're just going to ask these guys to pray. Should we start with you, Ruth, and we'll pass along?
Father, Lord, we just thank you for bringing us today. We thank you for like Holy Spirit to be with us. We just pray that you will give us wisdom and understanding to hear your word. We just pray that you will direct us and lead us, Lord. Amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this wonderful day. I pray that we'll be able to live with you and forever and ever, and pray that we'll all be with you, and we'll pray and we'll just absorb your glory and your salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Lord, I thank you. Sorry. Lord, I thank you for every single person in this room today. I thank you that we're here to come and worship you, Lord. I thank you that we're here to come and praise you for all your excellence. Lord, I pray that you'll come and be with us with Christmas as we celebrate the birth of you, Lord. I thank you that you are here today and you're here for us forever. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful stuff, guys. Well done. Do you want to sit down? We're going to stand and we're going to sing this wonderful Zechariah song. And then... this is a fantastic song. It's praying that God would shine in our hearts. Should we stand and sing? And then we're going to launch into the Christingles, hopefully. Our hearts, even this morning, Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Do you want to sit down? I'm holding a Christingle. Daniel, do you want to come up? And Joe, do you want to come up? Because they helped me make this. We were going to do this Blue Peter style, okay? But we are doing it Blue Peter style, because here's one we made earlier. But we were going to make it bit by bit, but we're not going to. Do you want to hold it? Do you want to hold it for a moment? Joe and Daniel made this. Your arm's going to get tired. He's never made a Christingle before, so this is very exciting. We're just going to quickly put up the pictures. And the next one there. So this is what it means. Because some parents said to me, "Well, what is this symbolic of?" I sometimes think kids get imagery better than us. But the orange is like, what did we decide the orange was like?
The world.
Yeah, the world, the whole world. And then God made the whole world. And then we open the cube. There it is. And you see the kids are making, they're putting the red ribbons around them. And they're putting up there, he surrounds it with his love. It's also a picture because it's red of the blood of Jesus, of the death that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And then the next one says, he fills it with his gifts. So this is the fun bit. This is the bit the kids are going to do in a minute. These are the good things that...
That is the food he gave us to eat.
Yeah, all the food he gave us, all the incredible things we enjoy, this amazing world, all this stuff he's given us. And then it says there's more. But he hasn't finished yet. And then they open the cube again. There, God gave us his son as the light of the world. Do you want to read that?
God gave us his son, the light of the world.
Fantastic. God gave us his son, the light of the world. Brilliantly read. So that's what, why we're going to light the little candles. And then I think there's another bit. We show his love and share his gifts. So they're sharing their sweets very kindly, very nicely. We put in four. I don't know why we put in four. Maybe it's the four seasons, but it's saying thank you to God for all that he gives to us. And then finally, there's a very sweet picture at the end. There's all the children coming out from their picturesque church, not quite like Acland Burley School, but, you know, you'd like to imagine these things could happen. And then they're coming out with their little candles. So what we're going to do now, if you're in tribe, you're welcome to come and make a Christingle if you want, but you might feel you're too old and too cool. Completely understand that. If you're in flame, you're very welcome to make a Christingle. And if you're in sunbeams, you'll need parents to help you make the Christingles. So the far table is going to be for the sunbeams. In a second, we're going to move. And the one in the middle is for flame, and the one at the end is for tribe. We need some parents to come and help us. The dolly mixtures don't go on very well, okay? But the other ones do, all right? So just a bit of practical help. And while we're doing that, and we're asking that the children, the deal is you can do this and make these, but we need you just to be quiet. Because while we're making them, it's going to take us about 5 minutes or so, Luke is just going to come and share a wonderful thought about the Holy Spirit. So let's just give a moment while the children go over. So if you're sunbeams or your tribe or your flame, you can come over and make these. Brilliant.
So I've been asked to share my story with the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's meant to me through my 26 years so far. So like many of the children here, I'd started off in all the kids' work going on here and County Wood. I really remember being very young, sort of age six, and all the wonderful stuff that goes on at County Wood that we pray and inviting the Holy Spirit in. It's very much like the Acts 2 verse. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I think it's a really great foundation starting off with the Holy Spirit being this thing that comes to us and comes to our hearts and comes to visit us. And it's just a really wonderful way to see the Holy Spirit as a child and something you feel. And then I was very lucky to go on a gap year at age 18, went to a missionary school in Hong Kong and also to Tanzania with a charity. And in that year, it's very, very different. If we get up the next verse from Matthew, then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so here it's quite a different spin on the Holy Spirit, a different message to take, that the Holy Spirit is something to equip us and empower us to go out into the world. And it's also something that I saw was used for healing. The Holy Spirit healed people visibly on the streets in Hong Kong and in Tanzania. It was amazing to see God as this powerful healer who could come into difficult situations and heal brokenness. So that stage of my life saw the Holy Spirit in a very different way to as a six-year-old. And then coming back from my gap year, I was really had the wonderful experience of being baptized. Many of you were there in Chalk Farm Baptist Church. And if we get at the next verse from Acts, Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I think the sentiment here is really special because it's associating the cleansing of repentance and baptism with the Holy Spirit. And there's something really purifying about the Holy Spirit that comes and cleanses of all the muck that we have. And again, that's just it's a really special thing to take, that the Holy Spirit is. It can cleanse us from our impurities. It can fill us up. And there's that great story of Jesus casting out the demons where he says, go and be filled with the Holy Spirit, implying that we are something to be filled, that when God casts out the bad things, that he fills us with good things, his gift, the Holy Spirit. And the next passage, I'm sure we're all very familiar with, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, I think it's also patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there's no law. And for me, the past few years, I've started my working life finally after lots of years of studying and taking on responsibilities. I think my mind has been focused towards all these things of character, and it's quite funny having my mother here, who's had to have me at home for a lot longer than she probably wanted. And I'm sure she's very aware of areas of my life where that fruit needs to grow a lot more. So particularly with clearing away breakfast, that's a... but certainly, and I'm sure we all have lots of areas in our life where we need the fruit of the Spirit to grow with us. And then finally, we've got a verse in Romans. And this is something over the past few months, I think I've really started to grow in prayer a lot more and see the importance of prayer much more. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. I think this is just such a special passage because it highlights that we're so weak. We need the Holy Spirit. We need God. We need Jesus to be with us. And in our prayer, it's such an important thing to know that we're not just dependent on ourselves. We're doing something on our own. And this is the message of Christmas, is God coming into our weakness to help us, to save us. And so if... I don't know if we want to stand. I'm going to pray quickly as we move on to what's next. But Jesus, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is this gift that you've given us for our whole lives, that you are constant and you are all these wonderful things. And it's only in our frame of mind that we can understand you at different times in different ways. But I pray that you would be with us and filling us up, and you would be healing our hearts where we're broken, Lord. I pray that you would be that gift of excitement and passion for you. I pray that you would continue to be shaping us, our character, and the fruit of your Spirit would grow in our hearts. But I also pray that you would help us to pray, help us to seek you and to desire to be close to you. And I pray that that hunger would be there for you. And I thank you so much that you've come to save us and to be with us. And you've given us yourself fully. No holds barred. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen.
Luke, fantastic. Wow. Okay, we're going to ask the children to come up with their Christingles, which they've made. There was a fair bit of eating going on over there, particularly on the Sunbeams table. There was some eating. It's beautiful. And we need parents to come up. If your child is under 8, we need a parent. Oh, a spare one. She's playing there. Okay, we're not going to light them for a minute. We're going to get some kind of order first. As there are some health and safety issues here. Right, guys, we need parents behind the little ones. If you're younger than 7, you need a mum or a dad behind you. And you can we spread up along a bit? That would be brilliant. Daniel, Luke, do you want to just come here? Okay, the deal is we're going to light them in a moment. We've got about four people who are lighters. We've never had so many do this before. The deal is, once your candle is lit, guys, you've got to hold it still. You can't wave it around. You can't walk about. You just got to hold it still. They're very special non-drip candles. They'll be perfectly okay. They won't drip on you or anything, but you've got to hold it still. And don't lean over it, because we don't want your fringes. Some of you have got magnificent fringes, and we just don't want them to catch a light. So could we have the lighters come? Maybe, Alan, if you started at this end, is Sally around? Brilliant. Do you want to come up this end? And then when we've lit them, we're going to turn off the lights. Patrick's going to turn off the lights once they're lit. Then we're going to sing. And then Luke, I think, they've lost a flame already. Luke's going to pray. Really pray this prayer that God would light this flame in our hearts. After we've sung, Luke's going to pray. And once Luke's prayed and said Amen, Amen is the sign to blow out the candle, okay? So that we don't have lit candles rushing around. And then you could light these again tonight. What we often say to the children is when it gets dark tonight, when it's twilight, when it begins to get dark, light them tonight, because they'll burn for quite a long time. They're very special candles. Right, are we ready? We're going to turn off the lights. And Barbara's going to lead us as we sing and really pray this prayer.
Take a seat, that would be lovely. As the wonderful hubbub of fellowship draws to a close. Okay, if you are new and would like us to keep in touch with you, we've got these beautiful Welcome to New Life forms. You can fill in your details on there, and we'd love to keep in touch. That would be lovely. If you, white box on the notes point, there's a white abuse on Sunday. It stands for English Versation on Sunday. Sometimes it does involve cake. I'm not sure if cake is on the agenda today. Biscuits. It should be called EBOS. Eating biscuits on Sunday. I apologise. ECOS, then, English Conversation on Sunday, is about where we welcome people for whom English is not their first language. And we just basically sit in a room in the school and chat for an hour or so. They learn proper English from us, native English speakers. What now to speak it proper, like. Know what I mean? So they can then understand what's happening. So if you could join us for that, if you're free and have an hour to spend, then that would be really precious. It's a lovely way of introducing people that don't yet know Jesus, many of them, to Jesus in us. Praise God. We have, in a couple of weeks' time, the family carol service. John is going to come and give us a quick rundown of the carol service and Alpha. John, what a blessing.
Amen. Let me just start by saying one of the things I have learned to enjoy is the carol service. Before now, carol service. But where's Pastor Paul? I think he's there. Let me see your hands, please, sir. Yeah. He made me love the carol service. Because everything or anything that has no pounded yam in it, I don't like it. I'm sorry, I just don't like it. And this is one of the services that don't have pounded yam in it. But there is something this service has got, which I would like to share with you today. First of all, on your seat, you'll have noticed a card, an invitation card, which we'll expect, if it's possible, to invite someone. One of the things about the carol service is carol songs. And guess what? I'm going to be in that carol choir. How great is that? That is if they allow me. Yes, and we'd like you to bring something very special on that day. First of all, we'd like you to bring your lovely and wonderful self. Clap for yourself, please. Because some of your faces makes me go home and just say, God, thank you for today, because I saw Michelle, the smile. Thank you. Keep that up. And secondly, bring a friend, like I said before, a family member, a colleague, even a neighbor, somebody who would like to come and celebrate with you on that day. And the third part is, I think the most important part, bring some finger food. Finger food. Not pounded yam. Finger food. Maybe like pounded yam, but not really pounded yam. Finger food. Please bring some and that you can share with somebody on that day. And the Lord will bless you. And that's the 16th of October. 16th of December. I'm really sorry. October is the international service. So it's still in my head. All right. This, we will like your help. The service is going to be at 4 p.m. There will be no morning service on the 16th of December. The service will be at 4 o'clock. And we'll expect everyone to be able to come and help out in the morning. The church will be open as usual from 10 o'clock in the morning. I'll be putting on the decorations, putting on the flowers, putting on all the beautiful things, and the choirs will be doing their rehearsals. Please come early so we can set up the place. Finally, I Otto will be announcing the Alpha course in January. The Alpha course is a basic foundation teachings of the love and mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. It's good for young Christians and new Christians and unbelievers even to come and attend. I have done a couple of courses on the Alpha program in the past. And one of the things I have loved about it is the simplicity of it. There is no complications about it. It's just very simple and very straightforward. And it gives you a basic understanding of what it means to be a Christian. And for those who are aspiring to grow in that field, please get yourself ready. Invite your friends and neighbors to attend this year's, next year's Alpha's course that is starting sometime in January. If you need further information, please talk to myself or Pastor Nick. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Fantastic. It's gone. If you can put up the Christmas meetings, a summary there of all the various meetings over Christmas. Carol service on the 16th at 4 o'clock, as John was saying, but meeting in the morning to beautify this place and get ready for the service itself. Sunday 23rd, meeting as usual with Revelation Church joining us, so that would be lovely to have them sharing that that day with us. 25th, which is Tuesday, Christmas Day, if anyone's not aware, Christmas Day is the 25th of December. We're meeting at Chalk Farm for an all-age service, and again, Revelation will be there as well, I believe. Yep. Sunday 30th, again, meeting at Chalk Farm Baptist Church, because this hall is closed. And then Monday the 31st of December, there's a watch night service, New Year's Eve, at Chalk Farm. Perfect. It's over the other side of the page. Chalk Farm, thank you. Okay, so PTO. PTO's on the next page. Very strange. Michelle has the verse for December.
Yes. Hello. There we go. So this is a lovely one about being connected to the vine. I am the true vine, so that's Jesus speaking, and my Father is the gardener. And then I am the vine again. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So it's a reminder that if we connect with Jesus, everything is possible. Everything. And if we don't, well, nothing. And so this verse is for Sally and Elizabeth, who learn them faithfully. So, and anyone else who'd like to learn them. They're at the back. Thanks.
Thank you, Michelle. Fantastic. Just a reminder that we're meeting for prayer again on Tuesday, Highgate Road Chapel, 7:30. The address is on the newsletter you'd received as you came in. It's a very special, not exactly day today, but someone very special's birthday we're going to remember today. Dear Mercy, 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 where are you? There she is. What a blessing. Whenever you pray for mercy, you're praying for this beautiful lady here. Mercy. Oh, no. Is NK here, actually? NK. No, okay, it's fine. Okay, so, apparently we have a cake. Look, there it is. I see another set of flames coming towards us. It's like Chris Dingle all over again. Hallelujah. It's the processional. There ought to be some sort of lovely music as the cake processes. We could sing happy... It's taking a life of its own.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mercy. Happy birthday to you.
Fantastic. Let's just pray for Mercy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we so thank you for Mercy, Lord. Thank you for her family. Lord, thank you for all that she means to us, Lord, as a mother in the church, Lord Jesus. We pray your blessing upon her in this coming year, and we celebrate today her birth. We celebrate today that she's part of this family. Amen. Bless you. Right. We have... Luke has got an announcement, I believe.
Ooh. Hello, everyone. On Thursday evening, Rosie and I got engaged.
I like short and sweet. Rosie, would you like to come up? Come and join us. Vic is going to come and let's pray for these two wonderful people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you so much for new life, Lord. We pray that as these two join their lives together, you bring much goodness, much grace, much Holy Spirit power into both their lives, but also that it will flow out, Lord, into your kingdom, Lord. May your kingdom come and your will be done through and in this lovely couple. And we just want to thank you for Rosie, Lord. We thank you so much for bringing her and Luke together. We thank you for Luke too. But we just want to just say such a big thank you for Rosie coming into Luke's life, who we've known for many years. Lord, thank you for her generosity. Thank you for her godliness. Thank you for her great passion and compassion for people. And we pray that these two would form a partnership that would bring glory to you, Lord. Amen.
Two things. Thank you all so much for being such a big part of my life. And for being so welcoming to Rosie at Carrington Wood and at church. And my mum's brought some chocolates at the back for later on with coffee. So she wanted to make that really known. So there we go. Thank you.
Let it be known that there is chocolate at the back. Bless you guys. Okay. If you see me going to the back in a minute, it's to get a drink, not to touch the chocolates. Okay, so Sunbeams and Flame are out. Did you want to say something else?
No, just to say that secondary school children, young people, are staying in. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay, lovely, lovely. Okay, that's it. Thank you very much.
There is more to happen. Don't go away yet.